It's time for A Walk in the Garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's A Walk in the Garden with Steve Stone.
We're starting a new show this week. Steve Stone will be with us, and we'll walk through the garden with Steve Stone. How are we doing today, Steve?
We're doing really good.
All right. Glad to hear that. And here we are, last weekend in August, and we're getting around to people thinking about what are we going to do with our flowers, plants, trees, shrubs. What are we going to do for the fall to get ready to make sure these plants can handle the winter? What do we need to do for various things? Well, how's that for a big wide open question?
I don't even want to talk about fall, let alone winter. So, yeah, we have just the summer's streaked by. It's amazing with all the other things that's been on people's minds. The season for me has just really been super busy, and at time's flown. So yeah, we are into nearly fall already. Of course, football's starting, and in some cases, I guess football's starting. And there's just a lot to do this time
that
of year.
That sounded like some sour grapes about the Big Ten season.
Oh, don't even get me started. We're going to be on the air for an hour with me complaining about the Big Ten. So, yeah, the high school kids are tough enough to play, but apparently the Big Ten's not tough enough to play. So the MAC is tough enough to play, but the Big Ten is not. So,
well, that's probably true.
That is exactly right. So, again, people have a somewhat of a misconception sometimes that spring is the best time to plant, the only time to plant, and it is a great time of year to do that. But fall, September, October can be equally as good, and in some cases actually better, time to plant than even in May. And so if you're looking at, adding some landscaping, certainly now is a great time to do that. It's a great time to do that because soil temperatures are really, really warm right now. So when you plant something and water it, obviously it's been awful dry, water it in really well. The soil's very, very, very warm. The roots are just going to explode and take off. Sometimes when you plant really early spring and even mid-spring, the soil temperatures are still really cold. And so if you're doing something from seed, it certainly takes a while for it to germinate. And even if you're planting, container plants or bald and burlap plants, when the soil's really cold, it doesn't promote good root development, or not good root development, it doesn't promote quick root development. So as the soil temperatures obviously are very warm, when you plant something, it's going to take off and root in very quickly. The biggest concern I always hear from clients and people is, well, I can't plant this late because it's not going to get rooted in and it's going to die over the winter. If you have a zone hardy plant, whether it's a perennial, a tree, a shrub, whatever, if it's zone hardy to our area, which we are a zone 5.
Well, and every nursery will only sell in the area, right? I mean,
every quality and good nursery.
Yeah.
Will
I'm talking about like
sell zone hardy plants,
like the ones that are here. The big box stores, they'll sell.
There are
stuff, and they try to do that, but sometimes they just get shipped.
And that's
what supposed
that's
to have.
Exactly right. Everything we have is pretty much going to be zone hardy for us. So, and we will guarantee our plants that we sell. So we certainly are 100% confident that they're going to overwinter, watered and installed properly, watered properly. Winter's not going to kill them, is what I'm getting at. Now, yes, at box stores, they will buy from all over the place, and they certainly can have really cool looking plants, but if you look really closely at the tag and read the tag, it may not be zone hardy for us. But everything that we have is going to be zone hardy for this part of Ohio. We're, like I said, zone 5. If you get down into Cincinnati and obviously northern Kentucky, they get into a zone 6. And you can have success with zone 6 up here. You will run into a cold winter every now and again, and you might lose something that's borderline. But for the most part, what I'm getting at is fall's a great time to plant. It's equally as good as May, September, October. The plants are going to get established very quickly. You water them in, give them a little bit of food, give them some water-soluble fertilizer or a granular fertilizer, and you're going to have great luck. Another reason that fall's a good time is because you can usually find a lot of sales, and myself is included in that, is I would rather sell plants at a discounted price and get them planted, or you get them planted. And that's less stuff I have to overwinter. And overwintering is, for me, isn't fun. I have to keep them above ground in containers, which they're 10 times better off being planted. And then I have to deal with mice and voles and rabbits and things that will get into them and feed on them over the wintertime. Yeah. So the less stuff I have to overwinter, the happier I am. And so again, you're going to find tremendous sales in the fall, 20%, 30%, 40% off, because people are just shedding inventory. So they don't have to take care of it, water it, care for it over the wintertime. And again, don't hesitate to get that planted, because it's not going to be an issue for that plant to overwinter. Even with a cold winter, it's not going to be an issue.
That's good. So that's true for trees and shrubs?
Trees, shrubs, perennials. Now, trees and shrubs, anything woody, when I say woody, that would be like a tree or a flowering shrub of any sort, whether it's an evergreen, deciduous, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're going to be perfectly fine. You can plant them basically all the way up till the ground freezes, and those plants are going to survive and thrive. You do get to a point with perennial flowers where you get kind of diminishing returns the later you plant. I wouldn't plant a beautiful perennial garden in November with hopes of that overwintering and coming back, because the perennials are a little bit more tender late season, but certainly September and October are great months to plant those. Also a tremendous month to divide and separate. I get a lot of questions, concerns, and issues with hostas, daylilies, ornamental grasses. As they've been in for a long time, they don't bloom as well. The foliage isn't as big, and then they will start to kind of die out in the center, and the center's dead, and then you've got this ring of foliage. Well, that what that's telling you is it's time that plant needs to be divided and separated. Mm-hmm. So you need a really sharp spade and a strong back, because in some cases, especially with ornamental grasses, can be very heavy and difficult to divide and separate. They have very fibrous root systems. So some of your bigger ornamental grasses are not fun to divide and separate. Your hostas and daylilies and sedum and things like that are very easy to divide and separate with a sharp spade. You can pop them out of the ground, get a sharp spade, a large knife, and cut them into pieces. Like a big daylily or a big hosta that's been in for 5, 6, 7 years, you could pop that out of the ground and you could literally get 5, 6, 7, 8 plants from each one of those. And you can divide, separate, put them back in. You know, don't put all of them back in. Give them, save them, give them to your friends, give them to your family.
Yeah, I was going to say, give them away. A lot of times, especially if you do it several times, you've already filled up all the space you have.
Yep.
So trade them with your friends.
Yeah, trade them back and forth. There's lots of people
give them that away,
would enjoy that. And they're, again, hostas and daylilies are just so easy to divide and separate. Replant them, water them in, and you just, it's a home run. You really have to neglect them to get them to not come back. They're just really, and again, the time of year, it's the perfect time of year to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, wanted to mention too, that if you have questions for Steve that you want him to address in our future shows, you can email us here at Fort Recovery Radio, at FortRecoveryRadio@Outlook.com, you can email Steve. What email would you like them to email questions to you?
Yeah, if you have any questions
or concerns,
topics you want me to hit, questions that you've got, you're always welcome to email me at Steve. It's all small letters, Steve@NatureScreenNursery.com. And it's all one word, no apostrophe on Nature's. It's just Steve@NatureScreenNursery.com. And if I see a question come in, I'll address it for my next show. And hopefully you'll be tuned in, and then I can get you your answer. If you're not, and I don't get inundated with emails, I can always email you back as well. Please email us with some topics. That would be cool.
Yeah, because even if it's something that you just would like him to email you back, we may still use it because it can easily apply to plenty of other people.
Sure.
We don't want to just keep it a secret between yourself and Steve. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back in a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about what people might want to do about their lawns and address some other things. So be back in just a minute.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature'sGreenNursery.com.
With power and versatility, the Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort, and your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. The M7 tractor. Built right, built ready. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Dairy has a great Saturday special for you. Our award-winning Coney dogs are just $2 each every Saturday. That's right. All day, every Saturday, you can get one of the best Coney dogs you'll ever eat for just $2. Grab an order of our famous French fries and you'll have a delicious meal. Get them any way you like them, with the works, Coney sauce, onions, shredded or nacho cheese, or your choice of toppings. Call ahead at 375-4411 and we'll have them ready when you get here. Every Saturday this year, get our great award-winning Coney dogs, just $2 each, at the Fort Recovery Dairy, home of the Double Decker.
We're back with Steve Stone on Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone here on Fort Recovery Radio. And we'll be doing this at least through the fall, every Saturday morning at 8. Sometimes we'll be live, sometimes we'll be recording ahead of time, depending on our schedules. But we'll be trying to help you out with any kind of questions, problems you might have, things that Steve knows that people need to know about, even if they don't know to ask the questions, because that would be me. I don't know to ask a lot of these questions, and he just says, hey, you need to do this and this. So I'm thinking... And you may have some other things you want to talk about. We talked about the trees, shrubs, perennials, that type of thing. Grass, lawns, bare spots, or just making sure that your lawn is ready to handle the winter. What do people need to do for that?
Well, again, this is absolutely the best time of year for seeding. So May is... second best. It's really September is the best time for seeding. Overseeding, slice seeding, complete renovations, whatever you're doing, right now is the time to do it, September. May is a good time. You have cooler temperatures. You typically get consistent rainfall, and you'll get germination usually, you know, pretty consistently. The problem you have, again, with spring, I talked about it before the break, is you have cool soil temperatures, and so that grass seed just lays there in some cases, and it takes it a while to germinate. If you water it properly and we get the right temperatures, which you're going to in May, the grass germinates and it grows. And then usually, not usually, every time what happens is once you get into July and August, the new grass is, you know, struggling to get its feet underneath it, and then it has just an immense amount of competition pop up with all kinds of broadleaf weeds. But more specifically, you'll have to deal with the grass will have to deal with foxtail and crabgrass. And so then you seed it, and it happens every year, and it's pretty much across the board. We'll do all these seed jobs and everybody's thrilled to death with the way they look in May, and they're mowing and they're happy. And then they get into July and August, it gets hot and dry. And then they call me and they say, man, this yard looks like crap. Come out here and look at it, and drive out and look at it. Yeah. You got foxtail and crabgrass. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah,
you're going to have weeds
in this area. You're, even if the 7 yards around you don't have any weeds, It's floating in the air. It's floating in the air. It's going to land somewhere.
And so July and August, you know, I always tell people, you're going to love your lawn. As soon as we're done in May, it's going to germinate. It's going to grow. It's going to look great. June and July, or July and August, you're going to hate your yard. You're going to think it's terrible. You're going to want to reseed the whole thing. And then if you give it some time and some care and some fertilizer in September, it's going to make a tremendous recovery. The crabgrass, what people don't understand is crabgrass and foxtail are annual grassy weeds. So as soon as we get a frost, they're dead. And then you can see all your beautiful turf grass that you planted. So you just have to be patient. Where I'm going with all of this is, if you do this in September, you don't have to deal with any of that, because your crabgrass and foxtail, most all your broadleaf weeds have all germinated. And so when you seed your lawn, you have tremendous soil temperature. So the seed's going to germinate very quickly. You're going to have nearly zero weed pressure. You're going to have some weeds, but it's going to be about reduced, I'd say, by 70% from spring. You get the right, again, soil temperatures. You put some water on it, you are literally, I mean, we've had lawns we've put in that people have mowed 4 weeks after we've seeded them. And in most of those cases, you know, people think that it was some kind of magic that we do. But in reality, it was more Mother Nature. The temperatures are right. We've got the right amount of rainfall, or you've irrigated it properly. The grass comes up and grows so quickly. It fills in very quickly. You're just going to be thrilled. So September is the best time of year to do any type of seeding. Like I said, seeding, overseeding, slice seeding. Even if your lawn looks thin, you're not happy with the way it looks, right now is a time to, very well worth it to rent a slice seeder on a Saturday or an evening and slice seed your lawn, get some new seed incorporated into that existing turf. You're just going to be, it's definitely going to be worth your time.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about maybe some fertilizing. What do they use? How do they do that? Is there a certain thing, or you go to your friendly neighborhood hardware store or seed place and let them kind of tell you what you need?
I always recommend getting a soil test. Soil tests are easy to do. They're very inexpensive. You can run most all of the local mills, the local ag stores will do soil tests for you. I have an account over in New Bremen at Brookside Lab, and they turn them around very quickly for me, and that's going to tell you everything you need to know about your soil profile. So then that tells you what kind of fertilizer that you need, because you're going to know how much nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium is in the soil. So then you can kind of customize what you need. The one thing that's been such a real hot topic in our area is phosphorus and everything. You know, phosphorus is what is leading to a lot of water quality issues, especially at Grand Lake. And so everything's phosphorus free anymore, or nearly all the stuff you're buying is phosphorus free. And that's great. I mean, if you don't need phosphorus in your lawn, great. Get phosphorus free.
Yeah.
But the problem is, when you're seeding new grass, phosphorus is a critical element to get that seed to germinate and grow. And we've been phosphorus free for so long in our area that there are certain soil tests I've seen and certain lawns that I've seen, I've had people call me and say, my grass just don't grow. I fertilize it all the time and it just don't grow. Have you done a soil test? Nope. Well, we got to start with a soil test. So you get a soil test and it's like, well, you don't have any phosphorus in the ground. Now that's unusual. Don't get me wrong. But while I fertilize it, you know, three times a summer, and I'm like, well, let me see your bag. It's like, yeah, well, it's got zero phosphorus.
Because that's what they're supposed to sell around here.
That's what they're supposed to sell. So you're putting nitrogen and potassium on it, and you're not putting any phosphorus on it, and you cannot have a nice, thick, healthy, beautiful lawn without phosphorus.
So what do they do? Can people in Fort Recovery do that without it getting in the Grand Lake watershed? As long as you don't do too much, it's not going to run off.
If you apply it properly, if you do a soil test, see what you're lacking, you buy the right fertilizer, you apply it, your turf is going to take every lick of that and not let, you know, yeah. It's like a fat man at a, fat man at a buffet. I mean, he's not going to let one morsel pass, you know, the turf is the exact same way.
Yeah.
If you're applying the right amount of nitrous and phosphorus, and potassium, the turf is going to want that. It's food. It's going to take that out of the ground. So it's now phosphorus, you know, isn't quite as mobile as, say, like nitrogen. Nitrogen will move very quickly through a soil profile. Phosphorus, not as rapidly. Plus, your lawn's not tiled like an ag field.
Right.
And so it stays put. And if you have a thick, healthy lawn, there's nothing better for a watershed than a thick, healthy lawn. If you're doing your applications properly and not over-applying, you know, that density of the turf and density of the root system is going to do a fantastic job of taking the nutrients and any excess nutrients out of the soil and use it for growth.
Yeah.
And so you know, point being, you have to have in a seed starter type fertilizer, you have to have phosphorus in a seed starter fertilizer. And again, soil test is going to tell you if you've got plenty of phosphorus, then you can use a phosphorus-free fertilizer and still get your grass up and growing. But in most cases, you want phosphorus in that fertilizer mix.
So is that something they can buy here locally, or do they have to go a different area to be able to buy it with phosphorus? Just most of the places won't order in with phosphorus because of the watershed problems.
The local guys, the ag guys, Mercer Landmark, and I don't want to forget anybody, but Mercer Landmark jumps to my mind. Any of those guys that are selling ag stuff, fertilizers, whatever, they're going to have what you need, or a lot of those guys will custom mix blend fertilizers.
Oh, okay.
And so you can get exactly what you need. But we have a seed starter fertilizer, and it's actually very high in phosphorus.
Yeah.
And we apply that when we're doing a lawn, because we want phosphorus there for that seed to germinate and grow.
And if somebody isn't near a stream, a creek, a river that it could flow into,
they're perfectly safe.
You can't hurt the people that live near the lake. Yeah, that can get in the lake. Or if you live near one of the streams that flow into the lake, like Coldwater Creek, you have to be careful.
You always want to be careful of what's adjacent to you. I mean, certainly if you're in town,
Where's the runoff going to go?
You want to be careful because, you know, obviously most cities now, towns, cities, municipalities have separated their sewer from their normal, you know, street drainage. And so some of that, runoff can go directly into creeks and rivers. So you need to be careful. I mean, you don't want to, if you apply it, or I don't want to say misapply it, but I mean, if you're applying it, you know, from a state law, we have to sweep all of the sidewalks, sweep gutters. I mean, we can't let any of that material on a hard surface by law.
Oh, that makes sense. That's extra work for you, but that's a really good
idea.
Work,
but I mean, blowing that stuff, either brooming it off or blowing it off and make sure it's in the lawn. That way you eliminate that. You don't have an issue. If you're out there working and you spill something, it's granular. It's really easy to clean up and make sure you get it in the soil, in the turf, on the grass, and you're not going to have any issues. But again, you want to be careful. If you've got, you know, storm runoff, you know, be careful how you're applying it. And you shouldn't have any issues at all.
Yep. So read the directions and do what they tell you.
All the label directions on any pesticide, herbicide, anything, whether it's an insecticide, a fungicide, anything that you can buy that has a label on it, that's a pesticide, the label's the law. And so you have to follow that. Now, I've never heard anybody that's been arrested for misapplying 2,4-D residentially.
Yeah. Because you're doing a half an acre instead of 50 acres like
but
a farmer.
You certainly, in my shoes with the licenses that I carry, I certainly can be fined. Jail would be unusual, but you can certainly be fined for misapplying.
Yeah.
And there are people out there from ODA that check us pretty regular. And
that's probably good, because then the legitimate businesses that really want to do the right thing the advantage over the ones that are trying to cut corners.
We invite them in all the time. I know them actually very well, and they come in and check our records, and it's never a problem. But they do find people that are cutting corners, and good for them. I'm glad they do that.
Yep. So let's take another break here real quick. We'll be back with Steve Stone and his walk through the garden right after this.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature'sGreenNursery.com.
We are back on Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we're going to kind of wrap up here, but wanted to ask real quick, bulbs like tulips, irises, I guess technically aren't bulbs, or rhizomes or something like that, but that type of thing. Is there a good time, bad time to plant those, to move those, to separate? What do you do on those?
With flowering bulbs, I always get people coming in the spring, you know, that see tulips flower blooming or hyacinths, crocuses, whatever. And, you know, some people are like, oh, those are beautiful. You know, where do I find those? And the flowering bulbs, crocuses, daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, those are all flowering bulbs that need to be planted right now. September, October, even into early November, you can plant your bulbs.
Yeah, and probably depending on what the temperature's doing.
Yeah, and you will have good success. Again, they're going to overwinter just fine. They're going to come out in the spring and bloom. But you have to put them in now because they need a cold cycle. They need to be cold before they will start to bloom. So those need to be planted, again, in the fall. And they're out there. I mean, we have them, and there's lots of other hardware stores, garden centers that will carry all different types of flowering bulbs. But those have to be installed now or planted now to make sure that they get the cold cycle that they need so they bloom, you know, like they should and when they should in the spring. So, again, you know, if you're out and about at your garden centers, you're going to see all different types of – and there's just – literally a million different types of tulips, different heights, flower colors, crocuses. You know, there's all different colors of crocuses, bicolors, multicolored, striped, just an amazing variety. Hyacinths are probably one of my favorite just because the fragrance is incredible with the hyacinths and that spring flowering. And then also daffodils are, you know, I don't know, one of the prettiest plants, I think. You just think of spring when you see those things flowering because it's always something that's, you know, March, April, those are going to be blooming.
Lilies? Is this a time for planting lily? A lot of those are bulbs.
Well, most of the lilies that we have are actually perennials. Mm-hmm. And so those are, you know, be in a container so you can plant them, you know, anytime this fall. If you're talking Asiatic lilies, those are easy to grow, again, million different colors.
But those would be fall rather than spring?
Yeah, you could plant those fall or spring.
Oh, okay.
And still get great flowers with those. But the flowering bulbs is definitely something that needs to be planted right now. And, you know, tulips should be or mostly are perennials, which mean they come back every year. But tulips don't like wet feet. So if you plant them in an area where tulips are going to be wet or the ground's going to be wet, they're going to last a season or two, and then they're going to kind of peter out, and you're not going to see them come back. So always plant those in some place where they're going to be dry, because they're going to, if they get too much moisture, they're going to rot and they're not going to come back. Plants, bulbs that are just absolutely bulletproof would be hyacinths, or for the most part, almost, you know, consistently come back every year, never really have to worry about them very much. And narcissus or daffodils are another bulb that just literally, you just really don't have to worry about them. They're going to come back every year. They never struggle. They just, they're just really, really, really tough. A couple other things to think about too is tulips. Squirrels will dig them up and eat the bulbs. When they do come up, rabbits and deer will also eat the flowers and the foliage pretty consistently. So if you're out in the country and you have a lot of deer and rabbits, you would definitely want to lean towards daffodils, because for whatever reason, they must taste horrible, because deer and rabbits hate daffodils, will not touch them ever. And the squirrels actually don't eat the bulbs either, but tulips must be a delicacy because they are easily damaged or eaten off by rabbits and deer. So those are, but again, there's nothing better than early season color than to get some bulbs in the ground.
Okay. Can you do like a quick minute kind of summary of what we've gone through with the fall preparations for the trees, shrubs, perennials, grass?
Well, the bottom line is September, October are just really unbelievably good times to work in the yard, plant, divide, separate, add new, whatever. I mean, it's just about the best time of year. So it's hard trying to teach people that you can landscape and you can enjoy your lawn and landscape and plant more than just in May. Mm-hmm. September, October are fantastic months to do that. Seeding, there's just really no better month than September to do your seeding. Now, you want to get the seeding done in September. If you're lazy and pokey, you might have luck doing it in early October, but you really want to get all that seeding work done in September. And then again, get your bulbs, planted, this time of year, and you're going to be all set for next spring.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, and we've been talking with Steve Stone on Walk Through the Garden, and this will be a regular event through at least most of the planting growing season this year, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., and if you have questions, steve@naturesgreen.com. You can email
Nature's Green Nursery.
I have it written down there. Just didn't say nursery. Yeah, steve@naturesgreennursery.com. You can email him questions that we can address, or you can also email here at FortRecoveryRadio@outlook.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for A Walk in the Garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to tune in again next week for A Walk in the Garden with Steve Stone.